Okay, let's start, I think, with the infrastructure group. And Len and Pam have mics. Who's the facilitator from the infrastructure group? Right here at this end. Let's give him a mic. And first, tell us who you are. Tom, I'm going to ask you to stand up. So, let me take this for a second. Yeah, we just got to turn it on for you. Okay. You know what? Are you comfortable with this? Go ahead. Go ahead and use the podium. Yeah, go ahead.
And I can just set these papers down here. Yeah, I'm Tom Chambers from Minnesota Power, representing the infrastructure group. And I'll just start with the first question. Is your segment ready? We went through the areas representing electric, airlines, telecommunications, gas, and water, which answered all of the questions. Heat, electric, transportation, phones, gas, and water. All of those areas feel that they are ready. And including nuclear, and the question there was, will the nuclear be safe and operating? NSP is the only utility in Minnesota that has nuclear. They are planning to operate both of their nuclear plants as normal, perhaps at a lower load so that they can allow other generators to be operating at that time. But all of those industries are ready. On the transportation area, that included airlines and FAA. There were two areas that came up. The water area, we're kind of waiting for this survey that's done. Most of these areas, the other areas that I mentioned, have got strong national programs to review the readiness and contingency planning efforts. The water, because there's a lot of small water and wastewater facilities, there was some question mark there. So we're kind of waiting for results. The two areas that came up that we had some questions about and perhaps there should be some pulse check on is wastewater and also like petroleum, the gas supply. Yeah.
Okay.
And I was in a different group.
Right.
We are ready. There won't be any problems. Everybody will be able to flush on January 1st.
Appreciate that.
Okay. So this is a pretty sanguine group. I want to find out a quick strongly agree or disagree. Make it a yes/no question, Chan. It's Tom, right?
Yes.
It's giving us a pretty sanguine report that all our entire infrastructure is set, everything's ready. How many of you people are confident that that's true? We're not going to have any major infrastructure problems on January 1. If you agree with that.
Do I get
no
to vote?
If you don't. Sure, you get to vote. Chan, give him a keypad. Yes, you agree with that? There's not going to be any major infrastructure problems. No, you don't. Okay, let's see what the group says, Tom. Okay, two-thirds yes, but one-third of you are saying no. So, got to be more persuasive. What did you talk about the what if, the contingency plan?
Okay. Okay, all of the areas have contingency plans in place, and basically all of these areas will, the major areas are going to have extra staffing because they don't know the what if. And so they will have extra staffing on New Year's in case there are any problems. But all of the areas have gone through contingency planning and feel that they basically looked at their risks and identified the things that that may be a problem and are ready to and staff for that. Maybe I just go through those other areas.
Sure.
Then
go ahead.
Okay. What needs to be done? Make sure that the providers are well connected. That includes communicating with the media, communicating with emergency management links.
Okay.
And communication with others within the infrastructure. So so basically we're feeling that we're ready, but we still need to have a little bit better means of being connected here so that we can communicate and both with the media as well as emergency management links. Polish up event management. One of the things that's going to be important is getting the right information out. People are going to be real craving information. They're going to wonder where things are at. And if there's any problems, we need to be able to handle those events. Well, there's probably going to be problems. A lot of those probably have nothing to do with Y2K. We need to be able to handle those events and get that information out to the right people. Reporters need to be responsible in communicating. And the infrastructure in particular needs to work with the media to get the right consistent message out. Okay? What do we expect for January 1st? All of the providers basically expect to be operating normally, except that they'll have additional staff. One area in the phone area, they expect to be operating the operational, but expect to have the phones overloaded, which everybody's talked about, the Mother's Day effect. And so the request is that phones and internet usage be used sparingly. So that would be a message that we could get out to people to use the phone sparingly and basically save the phones for more important messages. What do we advise communities to be doing? If they don't already have them set up, have a command center set up to handle if there's any problems, have a command center so they can communicate to the key areas. And also right now, if they haven't already done so, have some kind of forum by which they can assess their community and get information in a forum to provide that information to the citizens of that community. And then finally, what advice do we have for individuals to be doing? As I mentioned, minimize or use the phone sparingly during the key rollover dates. Don't buy a backup generator if you don't need one now. And last but not least, don't panic. The infrastructure industry is pretty well experienced, and day in and day out, they deal with the unexpected. And so if there are problems, I guess you should have some confidence in the infrastructure because they deal with, like, for example, storms and et cetera. They mentioned, like, up in the Grand Forks area with the problems with the flooding and everything, those people are real well prepared. They've gone through a lot of out-of-the-ordinary type of problems.
So you did discuss if something happens, you, across the board, feel comfortable that you're going to be able to handle anything that happens?
All right.
Anybody else from that group who wants to make a quick comment about that? Sir. Please do tell us who you are.
I'm Sam Koken, and I'm with Great River Energy. I was part of this group, and we unanimously indicated that we feel we're ready. I see a third or a little bit better just from the vote feel that we're not. Curious as to why that is. Do you just think that as an industry or a group of people, we don't know what we're doing? Are we overlooking something? We work together exclusively, and I can't think of anything we missed. If we're missing something, please let me know.
Let's hear from somebody who was in that third, and then we're going to move on. But just one last comment. By the way, we did a quick cut, and there was no difference between technical and non-technical people. But somebody who was in that third. Go ahead and be real quick.
Okay. My name is Ronnie Martin. My only concern is NERC has been reporting quarterly where the utility's at. Now, on the April report on page 21, they indicated that only a little bit over 100 utilities have done unit-level integrated testing, which NERC recommended. That represents 1.4% of all the electrical generating units in the country. I think most of the utilities will have their act together doing the shortcut approach they're taking by skipping this level of testing. But do I think everybody's going to get an A? No. So my answer of a no was I don't think everybody's going to get an A. I think there's going to be some B's, some C's, and some D's handed out. And that's why I put no. We didn't have a choice in between. That's all.
Sure. Okay. Good.
By the way, the next NERC report comes out on August 3rd.
For those of us who don't know, what's the NERC report?
NERC is North American Electric Reliability Council. And they were directed by the Department of Energy to take responsibility for preparing the North American electric power grid.
Okay. We're going to have more time to talk about these infrastructure issues, but let's move on now to the emergency preparedness group, please. And I think this is working, so come up. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Sally Thompson with American Red Cross. And my group consisted of folks from the city and the state in charge of emergency management. Also included, let's see, give you just an idea. We had the Minnesota Army National Guard was there also, and the Met Council was also a part of our group. We talked about emergency management, and emergency management deals with contingency planning all the time on a daily basis for all kinds of disasters. So they're kind of experts in all of this. So this is what we kind of talked about. And is our segment ready? Yeah, we're very ready. And we deal with emergency planning and response every day. We have had many opportunities to test our plans throughout the state. And, for instance, the Red River, like we were just talking about, and tornadoes in the past. So we're very ready for that. And we've also talked about doing disaster planning in the sense of having shelters available and having places where people can go if their own personal planning isn't enough for them in case of a disaster. So we talked about that. What still needs to be done? We felt that communications was the biggest piece, that we need to get the word out more. And there was conversations about that with the governor's super board and on a city level and a county level, and getting that information out so people can do some personal planning and community planning on their own levels. So we talked about that, and how are we going to do that? There's really going to be quite a bit of movement in the next few months, with starting with like National Night Out. There's going to be a lot of materials coming out to people on how they can plan. Also in September and in December, there's going to be more information coming out too, how communities can collaborate together. So we talked about those situations. And let's see. From a point of view, what do you expect for January? What we expect is that people will use their own personal planning in case there are any problems in segments of the communities that are not perhaps prepared as much as they should be. And there's a variety of reasons behind that. We talked about that a bit too, that sometimes it's a matter of not having all the resources you need in the community that you live in. And so it was a matter of making sure we have good contingency plans on a personal level.
Okay. And just to elaborate a little bit, did you talk with the fire and police and other officials about extra staffing, extra preparedness, and how do you think that jibes with what we just heard from the infrastructure group, that things are fine?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that. There is a bit more preparedness because of Y2K, because it's not the storm in one section. It could be in a variety of areas in our cities or our counties or in our state. So we did talk about increasing that situation of talking about personnel and having equipment and having backup plans on top of the backup plans. And so we did talk a bit about that too.
Anybody else from that group that might want to add a few comments? And if I may sort of editorially observe, I just heard the infrastructure people say everything's fine, and now I'm kind of hearing the emergency preparedness people saying we have contingency plans in place. I mean, I'm not saying those are contradictions, but they seem like they might be contradictions. Go ahead.
If you were
in tell us who you are.
I'm Lori Deffenbaugh from US West, and one of the conversation pieces in the infrastructure group was exactly the fact that we must have contingency plans that have not only addressed natural disasters like snowstorms, floods, whatever, but that we need to have those plans ready to be exercised to deal with Y2K as well.
Okay.
No matter how good we are, if all we do is stand around and say, boy, I'm glad I don't have to use it, we still have to have that lifeboat in place.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, and emergency management is based on that. It's having contingency plans for the what-ifs. I mean, that's a part of our day-to-day, responsibilities of what we do, is being planning. It's like buying, one of the community leaders of a meeting that I'm involved with said, it's like buying insurance. You never plan on having a house fire,
right,
but you buy insurance just in case it happens. So that's all that emergency management is all about.
Okay. Anybody else have a question for this group or want to make an additional comment? Go ahead.
Yes, I'm Paul Dees from Shriners Hospital. You mentioned you'd have shelters available. What do these shelters consist of?
We are looking, Red Cross is working with the local cities that we, in the areas that we're in. And We're talking about shelters that have generators and showers and things like that. And I'm from the Minneapolis chapter, and right now we're looking at increasing the number of locations, facilities that have these kind of things. And our St. Paul is, and all of our Red Cross chapters throughout the state are doing that. So we've got a number that have the generators and the showers and the large rooms and that sort of thing that we could set up a shelter, but we're looking for more of them. We're also looking for more volunteers, too. So it's kind of the same thing with emergency management, you know, talking about staff, talking about having facilities and equipment. We're looking at increasing what we already have available to us.
Okay. Good.
I'm Jennifer Cook from the VA Medical Center, another healthcare institution. We're rewriting our emergency plan, and everything depends on using the phone. Now, I have a husband who also works for the telephone industry, and I've been assured there's no problems. But is there any plans to test communications between the healthcare facilities and emergency disaster people other than the telephone? How do we get a hold of people if we need them if there is no telephone?
I'm wondering if Paul Prisabella, are you?
Paul, who are you?
I'm going to pick on Paul, but he's got a good answer.
I'm a representative from the Association of Minnesota Emergency Managers, and work for the City of Maple Grove. Basically, the emergency plans that exist in communities are local-based. The VA hospital is located within Minneapolis and is also on federal property. Those issues are issues that not only address Y2K, but should be addressed in any power outage or phone outage. And Dick Turner is here, Director of Emergency Management, and you can feel free to talk to him about how that can be accomplished. One means we use very regularly is the amateur radio people. We set them up in different locations, and we sustain communications with no reliability on power or on telephone. But there are multiple different ways to do that, and we can do that generally through radio frequencies. I just might add that one thing that did come up is basically if your communities have emergency operations plans and the communities are looking at planning for Y2K or planning for disaster, they're likely to plan for Y2K. If they don't plan for normal severe weather or flooding, they may not be as likely to plan for Y2K. So it really is really the philosophy of your community. And we in the emergency management community welcome support coming from business and from the people who reside in the community to make it a higher priority. We have not seen as much interest in emergency management and contingency planning since the Cuban crisis in the 1960s nationwide. So we're encouraged and welcome any type of commentary.
Good. Okay, we're tight on time. Okay. Let's move to the government group, please.
Can I just have one quick question?
Okay.
I think we have an opportunity here for people who are from sort of the hospitals and all. There's a little bit of concern there.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we want to do is have people take a step back, and this might be a good opportunity for those people in the hospitals to go hook up with Mr. Prisbilla there and see what the next step is. And that's what we kind of encourage here, so it's just not talk, but it actually goes into some action steps. So. Sorry
well,
to
good.
Interrupt,
thanks,
but
do that more. I mean, that's okay. You talk to everyone. So definitely make that connection. You're here today. You can arrange maybe a time to chat on the phone. Okay, government group, tell us who you are.
I'm Kent Sewell. I'm the Y2K project coordinator for the League of Minnesota Cities, and we've been working with trying to get the 854 cities in the state of Minnesota ready for Y2K. And we had representatives in our groups from a couple different cities, from Hennepin County and from various state associations as well as the county association and myself. And our consensus was that, by and large, units of government are ready in terms of their internal systems. You look at the systems that have been surveyed and reviewed and vendors contacted, there have not been a whole lot of systems reporting major problems. And so we believe that by and large, cities, counties, and the state are ready, provided the information we're getting is, in fact, accurate. Having said that, we do recognize that there are definite exceptions to that rule, and that there are some counties that are lagging, there are some cities that are lagging, and you may have an area where the county is doing a great job, but the cities are a little bit behind, or conversely, where the cities are really active, but the county is lagging behind. So there are exceptions to that rule, but by and large, the majority of our memberships do seem to be ready for Y2K in terms of internal systems. The next phase, of course, is looking at the external and the contingency and the emergency planning. And that's the phase where I think there's a lot of efforts currently going on and still needs to be a lot of work. When we looked at who's responsible, who takes the leadership role, there really is no single answer to that, in that we're all responsible for different phases. We all have different aspects and all have to accept leadership through the Y2K effort. There's things that the state can do in terms of opening up resources and providing access to information that wouldn't otherwise be there, and providing a central leadership role by example. There's things at the county level, particularly in emergency management, where every county has an emergency manager, not every city has that designated person. There's some statutory defaults, but that's not as open and obvious to people, and even the city officials may not be there. So you need the county to take leadership at that level, but the cities need to take leadership in terms of having the direct contacts with citizens. They're the ones that have the most direct relationship by and large, and again, there's exceptions in different parts of the state, to take leadership in that role. And so it needs to be a real cooperative effort, and I think one of the things that's just being alluded to is that regardless of the level of government you're at, or if you're just the private citizen within a community, if you're not satisfied with what you're hearing from the level above you or below you or next to you, whatever the case may be, and you want more information, be that grain of sand, be the initiator, take some self-leadership and help force the effort. There's very few elected officials out there that are going to ignore multiple requests for assistance coming from their constituents. At the county level, a lot of the county efforts that are going on have come because the cities within the county have said, hey, we need this to happen. We want to work together. And so the city provided that little bit of initiative and acted as that grain of sand. And so the leadership really comes at all levels, including the individuals. Communication remains a big concern in terms of getting accurate information out, but making sure it's worded in a way that doesn't create panic or it isn't misinterpreted. So everybody recognizes the need to share more of what we know and get the information out there, and looking at resources to do that, but making sure it's worded in a manner that conveys accurate, helpful information, spurs action, but not overaction and panic. Which raised one of the issues in terms of where is a big concern, what's left to be done, and that's outreach to vulnerable citizens, and that comes in many formats. We had a member from the Hmong community, part of our group, and looking at the non-English speaking cultures that are out there. But beyond that, not only do we have non-English, but even if you were to translate the materials, and there's a lot of materials out there right now available in Hmong, in Somali, in Spanish, whatever language you're looking for, you can find the written materials. There's a large percentage of the population that simply doesn't read. And so the written materials aren't going to help anyhow. So then what are the other alternatives? Looking at the use of radio and other community groups where you can actually get some verbal communications out. Getting out to vulnerable adults that are house-ridden, can't get out to a meeting, can't respond to some other center for information.
Can I just wrap up? Please.
Those were Those were the areas that we identified as still needing the work to be done and where we're headed.
Okay. Anybody have a really quick comment? If not, I'd like to move on. Thank you very much, Ken. We're really tight on time, but we're gonna have lots more time to talk about this later. How about the health systems group?
I'm Melanie Souchere from Minnesota Hospital and Healthcare Partnership. I was privileged to work with a cross-section of people from the health system, and you'll see on the list just who all of them are. I've also been privileged to work with many of you in the room on a variety of these issues, and I think some of them will pop up in our review of what we discussed in our group. We attempted to stick to the process, and so we did manage to ask the first question, are we ready? Minnesota is okay, nationally not okay. We felt that as a state, the system has been working on this issue for a good long time, and we are confident that we are well on our way to being ready. However, nationally, the surveys have indicated that that's not the case. Now, the reason that concerns us is because that contributes to the public perception that healthcare will not be ready when the millennium turns. So farther down the line, you'll hear us refer to some of the solutions for that. We are also concerned, I might add, about certain sections of the healthcare system, senior housing, senior services, nursing homes, individual providers that are in private practice, for example, may or may not have been concerned about this issue in enough time to actually do something about it. And so there is going to be some catch-up that will be needed. Again, the readiness of individual providers and word about that will contribute to the public perception that healthcare may not be ready. However, as a group, we would say not to fear. One big issue that we talked about was the pharmaceutical supply chain. There has been work done nationally and at the state level and certainly at the local level. And we can tell you that the pharmaceutical industry tells us there is 90 days of supply under any circumstances in the system. There is nothing different about that in this circumstance. Also, that the system will sustain anybody renewing their prescription within 5 to 7 days of that prescription running out. And so individual patients are encouraged to keep an eye on their calendar, keep an eye on their prescription bottles, and within 5 to 7 days of that prescription running out, get it renewed. And then you will be sure that there will be a supply as we turn the millennium. And then individual pharmacies are encouraged to leave a paper trail, make sure that their systems will allow for accurate record keeping. And as a result of that, we think there won't be a huge blip on the screen for that. Another piece that was of concern to us and is of concern to the public is medical devices. And let me point out that healthcare services are delivered by people. And the system is not dependent on the tools. The tools help us deliver the care. So you will get healthcare. I also want to point out that medical devices have been tested and reviewed, and they are safe. And so people have resources for getting information about their particular device of concern, but we can say as an industry that the work has been done to make sure that we can say with some assurance, all assurance, that medical devices are safe. A lot of work has gone into getting prepared for Y2K. 5 months out, we are sure that we're going to be ready. The next 5 months need to be used for contingency planning and, I should say, for greater contingency planning and for connection with the community. And that community connection will rely on connecting with the emergency management system. That work has started. We need to make community connections. And by that I mean there is a certain human behavior, patterns of behavior when there are problems in the community. And we learned this in our work with the emergency managers. All the plans say people will go to schools. And the healthcare people around the table said, no, they come to us. And no, it's in the plan. No, they come to us. And so we need to make sure that our plans reflect human behavior and that we're ready for whatever happens. The other piece is we need to work with the media. All of you people in the media are recognizing the fact that people have been closed-mouthed because of liability issues. Well, now that we're at the stage where we are ready, or darn near ready, we have to start telling our story and in a credible way that starts to dissipate any kind of public concerns that may be out there. And as I say, a big piece of the message from the group was the industry is well along in the process of being ready, and our next challenge is to reach out to the community. Is there anybody in our group that wanted to throw something else into the mix?
The health group? Good.
And then any questions?
I think we're moving along.